Interesting song we just sang. When you really think of what God has done in our life and in the world, when we're really looking at revelation of what God's doing, and He gives us all this warning and all these predictions and all this, this is what's going to happen. What can you do at that point? Hey, you missed the praise time. Yeah. What can we do but stand before God with our arms open wide, our arms lifted up, or just with our heart just open to God and say, here I am, all I am is yours. Really, that's the goal of what revelation is to get us to the point where we can say, God, all I am is yours. Here I am, standing just completely open because you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and this is what I want from, this is what I offer to you. And my challenge really all throughout this morning is, you know, what are you going to do with this? What are you going to do with revelation? Think, oh, this is really cool and it's really futuristic and all this kind of stuff. That's not the point. The point is God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. And what should we do about it? It's just to say, here I am. And so that's the goal. Anyway, happy Mother's Day to you guys that are mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Nice to have you. And I think some of you guys were thinking, who's stalking me that took my picture? I've never seen so many mothers of one church, and I'm sure you didn't all send your pictures in. Somebody was stalking you, and you never know. You know, that little camera's always turned on somewhere in the world, you know. Somebody's listening, and great job on that. I really appreciated that and some really great pictures, but happy Mother's Day. And if we missed anybody, consider yourself fortunate that you weren't being stalked next year, all right? But it was really good. A good reminder to do that. Thanks, Kian. I appreciate that. Kian made his own missions trip, and he wrote to the elders, and he explained it to us, and we really believe that God is going to use him there. And, you know, and it's probably nice to get away from his nasty mother. On Mother's Day. Right in front of everybody. That was great. I appreciate it. And I really appreciate that his non-nasty mother is allowing him to do this. And we were just really impressed, like Bob said, with the fact that he says, listen, he broke it down into this is what it's going to cost here, and this is what it's going to cost there. This is the part of the trip that I'm going to go see, you know, the waterfalls and different things, and this is what I'm paying for. He didn't really, we had to kind of convince him to ask us for money, okay? So he really isn't up here on his own. We said, we want to be a part of it. And one of the things that our church wants to do, Bob, we want to be part of this. And because if he goes and these kids get saved because of him and we didn't help, what credit do we have, you know? This is the way we store up treasures in heaven, you know, without having to go to Africa. We can store up treasures in heaven just by becoming, you know, piggyback on with him and help him to be able to get there. And so that's exciting that we have the opportunity to whatever God accomplishes through him there. If we're part of that, we get, so the church didn't want to miss out on the credit of that. The elders are going to help him. We'd really love to see you guys help him with a little bit. And I appreciate that. And Keen, you did a great job. And thank you for being nervous or not being nervous or whatever, but thanks for being up here. Revelation chapter 1. We're going through Revelation, and I want to quickly just cover a couple highlights from last week, and I promise I won't do it long because we got a long way to go. Revelation 1:1-2 talks about the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show the servants, his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. Really important things in there. This is the one book of the Bible that God says that the Bible says this is from God himself, given to Jesus Christ, sent to man by an angel, and written down by John. And it's just like, we know all Scripture is inspired by God. All Scripture is God-breathed. But this kind of takes extra time to say, literally, this book of the Bible is unique. This is from God, given to Jesus, given to an angel. I mean, passed down the line, I guarantee it didn't lose one syllable in that passing down the lane, and it was dictated right to John, and all he did was write down what he saw. And that's kind of gets to be some weird stuff. And if you're, you know, after the third chapter of Revelation, you're going to see a lot of weird stuff in here that it's like, yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. I'm going to try to explain some of that as we go along and why it seems so, you know, unearthly. But really cool stuff. So anyway, then 2 Peter talks about it. Since and the Revelation, obviously, is about the end times. The whole world and all the elements of the world are going to be destroyed. So 2 Peter 3, 1 to 14, just a couple sentences in there. Since everything will be destroyed this way, here's the point. What kind of people ought we to be? What kind of people ought we to be? Since this is going to happen, how should we live our life? How should we take the revelation and make it part of our life now? It's going to happen in the future. The first couple books, or the first couple chapters are about churches today, and then we get in the future, but how should we be today? It would be foolish to listen to this and stay the same, all right? How should we be today? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to this day and speed its coming. We got to look forward. This is exciting. Revelation is not scary. It's serious, but it's not scary to a believer in Christ. So we need to look forward to this day and literally speed its coming. We talked about that. When the whole world knows, then Jesus says, the end will come. So if you want to get this world over with, go tell people about Jesus Christ. Use your mouth, okay? Especially when you go to the pizza shop. You know, strange things happen there. Tell people about Jesus Christ gently, lovingly, politely, but don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let your light shine before men that they will see your good deeds and be able to glorify God in heaven. Not that you're just a nice person, but they know why you're different. They know why you're a little bit different. So that's the kind of people that we ought to be. You ought to live holy and godly lives, looking forward to it. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. And that really gets to the bottom line. Since this is going to happen, you make every effort, okay? What kind of effort do we have? Remember some verses we learned a while back that we said every week? Anybody remember those verses? 2 Peter, His divine power has what? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. When you accept Christ, God Himself takes up residence in your life. How does that happen? I don't know. That's kind of strange. Through the Spirit of God, He empowers us, but He's given us everything we need for life and godliness. So make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. And then the point of revelation, this is good, the point of revelation is, bear in mind, the point of revelation is not all this strange stuff that's going to happen. The point of revelation, I believe, is God's patience with people. God's patience with people. Kind of does the same thing that He did with Pharaoh and Moses. You remember when Moses went to and said, let my people go to Pharaoh? And he said, yeah, right, you know. And then God sent plagues, right? And after the plague, oh, we'll let you go, we'll let you go. And then change your mind. We'll let you go, we'll let you go. Change your mind. Another plague. We'll let you go. And He said it in like, let you go. Or whatever Egypt does, you know. But God was patient with him. He could have done it after the first plague or second plague, but He gave him chance after chance after chance. And the worst ones are coming. You got to listen. Please obey. You got to listen. And finally, God had to take drastic measures. That's what Revelation is about. God's saying, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And then something happens, and He says it's coming, and the Bible remains on the earth after believers are taken up in the rapture. It's going to happen. God is not willing that anybody should perish, and that's stuff we're going to talk about a little bit later on too. But God's patience means salvation. He is patient, not wanting anyone to perish. And we can trust the revelations of God. We can trust the revelation of God because all His past revelation, we talked about this, all the past prophecies of the Old Testament, every single one of them has come true, 100% accurate. And Vicki said I should have given a couple examples for that last week, so I'm giving a couple examples for that last week because it's Mother's Day, and she's not my mother, but she is the mother of my children. Okay, you know, there's a couple. So I looked up a couple examples. I think it's great. I have a whole pages full of examples, whole books of evidence that demands a verdict and different things like this. But a couple of them, I think it was great. For those of you who don't know, the Bible said in Micah chapter 5, 735 years before Jesus was born, that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. 735 years before. And then it said that his ministry, the Messiah's ministry, is going to start in Galilee. It says in Isaiah 9:1, that's 739 years before Jesus was born, that prophecy. And then in Zechariah 11:12, it said that the Messiah was going to, before he was crucified, he was going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And that was by Isaiah 520 years before he was born. It's like all these prophecies, hundreds of them in the Old Testament, all of them came true in the life of one person, Jesus Christ. The Bible's in Psalm 22:16, the Bible says his hands, the Messiah's hands and feet are going to be pierced. Okay, the guy that was born in Bethlehem, his ministry started in Galilee, and he's going to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. And then the Bible talks about he's going to be lifted up, and before that was even invented. And then the Bible says that guy that was all them, his hands and feet are going to be pierced. Okay, and that was in Psalms. And it also says in Psalms that none of the bones of the Messiah when he's hung on the cross are going to be broken. And that was all in Psalms 22 and Psalm 34. And that was 1410 years before Jesus was born that was prophesied. That, and along with over 200 other prophecies, every single one of them came true in the life of one single person. That's not even probable statistically. If you're an actuarial guy, it couldn't happen. All right, so with that kind of a track record, do you think we can trust the next book of prophecy? I think we'd be foolish if we didn't. Foolish if we didn't. We plan according to weathermen who are always accurate. We schedule things and postpone things and cancel things because of weathermen. And they're not even... I don't even want to get started on that. All right. Anyway. Now, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the, and this is an interesting thing that doesn't happen in other books of the Bible. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. You're going to see these things all the time. Because the time is near. Because the time is near. I think God's trying to tell us that the time is near. Okay. Blessed is the one who hears these words. Blessed is the one who reads them out loud, reads out loud the words of this prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it and take to heart. We're going to be reading aloud the words of this prophecy. Blessed. Blessed just means made holy or consecrated. Okay? Endowed with divine favor. Blessed are you if you read these words out loud. Okay, so you might want to do that sometimes, sit in your bedroom or in the bathroom and read these words out loud, okay? Blessed are you, blessed with divine, like consecrated or made holy or endowed with divine favor if you read these words out loud. I don't know if it means like out loud, but I think the idea here is so that other people can hear it. It's part of sharing it with other people. Blessed are you if you let people know. If you read this, if you hear it, if you let people know, you're blessed. And it says, blessings are on those who hear it and take it to heart. Blessed are you if you hear it and take it to heart. Now, that's an interesting thing. Not just if you hear it. If you hear it and don't take it to heart. What's take it to heart mean? Anybody have, what's take it to heart mean? You believe it. Apply it, take it seriously, act on it. That, I like that one. I like them all, but you win the prize. Do we have something to give her? I have a Tic Tac, but it probably has pocket fuzz on it. Blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart. And this is what I have. Allow its words to sink in. Not just hear it. Not just, oh, that was a nice Sunday message. To hear it and take it to heart. Let it sink in. Let it inspire you. Let it hurt you. Let it change you. Let it motivate you. Let it direct your choices. That's taking it to heart. And so many times we sit in church and we say, oh, that's nice, and wow, that was really cool, or whoa, that was really long. But to take it to heart, to let it change you, allow it to hurt you. I'm amazed sometimes with the amount of messages that that God tries through me to hurt you with. It's kind of like, Vicky, it's a hurt that feels good, okay? There's some hurts like that, like a shot, you know, a hurt that feels good, or like something, anyway. But a really hard massage. It hurts, but don't stop. It feels good. It's good for you. And people get up and just walk away, and I don't hear back that it made any difference, that it changed the heart, that it didn't convert into actions. What's the point of hearing it if we don't get hurt by it? If it doesn't change our choices, if it doesn't motivate us to live another way or sink in. I mean, God says, listen, blessed are you if you read these out loud and you talk to other people, but blessed are you who hear it and take it to heart. And this is a book of the Bible we need to take to heart, just like 65 other ones. No, we're called to take these to heart, to let it change. They weren't just written for something for God's people to do in the Lord's day. They were written for our good. This is life instructions. So this introduction, that was just a great introduction. We spent, you know, last week and a little bit of this week on. Then we go to Revelation 4. Revelation 4, the beginning of verse 5. John introduces himself as John. Makes sense, okay? And that's who wrote it. Now it came to, who's it written to? This is important for us to understand, to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Next week, we're going to start to get really close, a little more of the introduction. The week after that, Bob's going to take us into the first church as we go through the churches, the seven churches in Asia, okay? So it's written to the seven churches in the province of Asia. He says, grace and peace to you from him who is, from him who was, and for him who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kingdoms of the earth. So he basically says, first of all, this is from John, and we'll talk about that next week, and we'll talk about John a little bit. But he's writing it to the Christ-following groups in the province of Asia. Kind of province of Asia in that day was like Turkey, Macedonia, Greece, Kosovo, Bosnia, that kind of area over there. That's kind of who it's written to the seven churches at that time. God says, I want to write a letter to the seven churches. I want to write a letter to my Christ-following people in the organized churches that are in some of these provinces and some of these cities. So this is written to Christ followers. It's not written to unsaved people to scare them, to tell them the future. He's writing it directly to his people, okay? It's from John to the seven churches in Asia. And I like that he says, grace and peace to you from our God and Father. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. The letter, the tone of the letter is not a scolding. It's grace and peace. So I like that. I like when letters start that way, you know, rather than call me into their office or say, we need to sit down and have a chat. Okay? It's like, you know, grace and peace to you. So it's not a scary book of the Bible. The tone for the whole of Revelations is not that I'm going to destroy the earth. No, the whole tone is grace and peace. You Christ followers, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the future to help motivate you, to help change you, to help make your choices different. But I want you to understand that you have so much grace that even though you might deserve this, because of who I am and what I did for you, and because you chose to follow me because of my grace, please have peace throughout this message. Okay? Please have peace through it. Peace doesn't mean we just sit there with a remote with good batteries in and watch a nice, comfortable TV show. Peace means just in your heart, don't worry about this. Prepare, plan, do what's right, but just relax in the grace that God gave you. Am I good enough? Did I sin at the wrong time? Do I miss a sin? Did I not forgive? Did I not ask forgiveness for a certain sin? What if it's not? Just relax, okay? Relax and let this motivate you. Let it speak to your heart. Let God's word change whatever it is that makes you more like him, okay? Grace and peace to you from God. And we want to have peace. And then it says, from him who was, and who is to come. Okay? Wow, who's that talking about? From him who was, from him who is, and from him who is to come. Who's that talking about? God. Jesus. Holy Spirit. 3 in 1. Talking about God. This is who this letter is from. And that he refers to himself a lot of times as I was, I am, and I is to come. Although he uses proper language, grammar, all right, to us, whatever language he speaks to other people. But from him who was, is, and is to come. This is from God himself. He reminds us often in here that I was. Before any time began, I was. Okay, he's not confined to our time schedule. Understand that. He's not from this world. This world is just a creation. So all these things we see in Revelation are weird to us, most of them, because they're not from this world. And I was, before time was created, before this world is, I was. And I am in this time, and I'm going to be when time is no more. All right, it's important for us to remember this. And he says, in other words, I am God. I have always been, I always will be, and I know what's going to happen. I'm just reminding you who I am as the author. My credentials are, I have always and will always be. That's pretty cool. And he still is in our time frame. I am, okay, right now. In this time. It's just an amazing God. From him who is, who was, and is to come. The God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And it's also from the 7 spirits before his throne. Now that gets interesting. From the 7 spirits before his throne. And that's the way Revelation, that's the way he introduces himself in here. What verse was that? I forget. Where am I at? To the 7 churches, prophets, and grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come, from the 7 spirits before his throne. The 7 spirits before his throne. Who in the world are the 7 spirits before his throne? Now, this gives us a little taste into what we're going to be looking at as we go through, after we're done the churches, as we go through the rest of the book of Revelation. We're going to be looking at things like when John saw this, because he says later on, I'm writing down what I heard and what I saw, and he saw God on his throne, and 7 spirits of God before the throne. And he describes them in a couple different ways, give you a little forward look. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, when he was in heaven, and we'll see this in a month or two, from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumbles and peals of thunder, and in front of the throne, 7 lamps were blazing. These are the 7 spirits of God. Now, he describes the 7 spirits of God here in Revelation. When he saw it, they appeared as 7 lamps blazing before God, before the throne. So God was on the throne. In front of God was what looked like 7 lamps blazing. And he says they were the 7 spirits of God. Now, if I saw 7 lamps blazing, I wouldn't say, look, the Spirit of God is over there. Okay? But for some reason in heaven, at this point, he saw things that looked like 7 blazing lights. And that he knew that they were, because he was out of this world, he knew that they were the 7 spirits of God. Revelation chapter 5, 6. Another description of it. John says, when I saw a lamb looking like it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by 4 living creatures and the elders, the lamb had 7 horns and 7 eyes, which were the seven spirits of God sent out on all the earth. Now they appear as something different. There was a lamb looking at it, been slain, seven horns, seven eyes, and they were the seven spirits that were sent out to the churches. Why did it look like a lamb with seven eyes? That seems like a mutant. It's just the way they appeared when he saw it. He's just describing what he saw in the words that he has. And we'll see this. The important thing is, well, can we draw a picture of a lamb like that? You know, and it got horns everywhere. And some little girl showed me her little lammy that she had today, you know. Didn't have seven horns, only had two eyes, okay? That was not the Spirit of God, all right? But for some reason, John saw them, and it's like, I don't understand what this is, but this is what I saw. I'm writing it down, okay? That's the seven spirits of God talked to there. And now, here's where I found they were listed in Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 2. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 to 2. Isaiah takes time and he lists. Now, Isaiah was one of those guys that was given a vision of heaven too. And he described this as this, Isaiah 11, 1 to 2. A shoot, and this is one of the prophecies that was fulfilled. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From its roots, a branch will bear fruit. That's a prophecy of the Old Testament that talks about the lineage, that Jesus, the family that the Messiah was going to be born into. Now, that's 500 or 600 years before Jesus was even born. But he says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will appear. Now, listen to this. Here's the seven spirits of God. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, and the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. These are the seven spirits. The point isn't what they look like, whether they were eyes or lamps burning with flame, but for some reason, he was able to literally see the seven spirits of God, and listen to what this, and these are attributes of God. These are main attributes of God. Now remember, and don't get caught up in what they looked like. This isn't a five senses world. Heaven is not about five senses, or even about the sixth sense. Heaven is perfect. Heaven is created the way God lives. And God does not live with taste, touch, smell, and hearing, and the other one. All right? God lives outside our senses. God doesn't live in a 3D world. He lives in an infinity D world. I don't know. But this is what they saw, but this is the important part. These are the spirits of God. This first one is the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. God Almighty. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. We see that in other places where the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. Gideon was one guy. Gideon was the little guy, littlest tribe in Israel, the littlest guy in his tribe. And God said, well, hello, great mighty warrior, when Jesus came to see him. And he says, I'm not a great mighty warrior. But when Gideon obeyed God and God enabled him, what did he do? He said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he broke the trumpets. No, he broke the, I'm going back to my KFJ lesson, all right? He broke the clay pots. Anyway, he boiled his whole army down to three people. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Bob told us about Samson, was tied and bound. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he picked up the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistine soldiers by himself when the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. Jesus, when he was in Nazareth, when he started to teach in his hometown, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he taught in a way that no one ever heard him teach. The Spirit of the Lord is a reference to God Almighty. Will be on him, with him, in him. And when the God Almighty, the Spirit of the Lord God came on people, on human beings, sinful human beings, like some of these people we talked about, they did amazing things. The Spirit of God enables us to do what he calls us to do. He enables, as a believer in Christ, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, am I talking too loud? Am I yelling or like, good, I'll get louder then. When you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, you are indwelled by who? The Holy Spirit. Who is who? God and Jesus. And when they come, do you think God leaves the Spirit in heaven? Or does he bring his enabling Spirit into your life also? In the Old Testament, he would come and go. Now, he takes up residence in our life. That's why his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through his Spirit in you. So what enabled these guys to be phenomenal, these guys of the Old Testament, what enabled Jesus Christ to teach and do these amazing things was not that they studied and practiced and learned how to do them and went to like speaking school. They were enabled by the Holy Spirit. That's just a cool thing. So one of the spirits of God is the enabling Spirit of God. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's because as a believer in Christ, we're enabled by the same Spirit that enabled Jesus. The Spirit of God rests on you, and not only just on you, rests in you as a believer of Christ. So one of the things that John literally saw was that enabling Spirit of God. It looked like a fire, a bright flaming fire. It looked like an eye that could just, I don't understand why it looked like that, but one of them is the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit, the second one is, the second two that is talked about in Isaiah, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. That's part of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding. To live our lives for the Lord, understanding that his ways are best. His ways are better. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Proverbs talks about that. And Bob shared with us a lot about Solomon and how the Spirit of God rested on him and gave him this wisdom. Proverbs 1, 1-2, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction and for understanding words of insight. A lot of times, unbelievers don't fully understand the impact of the Scripture. There's parts of it that make total sense to me that they think it doesn't make sense to them. Well, I have the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of understanding, and you do too. Doesn't mean we're going to be as wise as Solomon, but that Spirit is in you that enables you to understand God and apply it to your life, not just to hear it. So the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, they're the second and third one. The Spirit of counsel and of might, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The other Spirit of God is he's the Spirit of counsel and might. And all throughout the Scriptures, prophets would go to God for counsel. He would give them truth, and the mightiness of God was on them. The Spirit of knowledge, the sixth and seventh one, the Spirit of knowledge, the fear and fear of the Lord. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Now, they're important ones because without a proper respect of God, the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord isn't saying, oh, I'm afraid of God. Otherwise, he wouldn't write, you know, this in the Spirit of peace. Okay? This should be the spirit of fear. Oh, this is going to happen. He says, listen, don't worry because I'm a God of graciousness and a God of mercy. And if you in my family, you have nothing to worry about. Just relax. But God does talk about the spirit of the fear of the Lord, respecting God so much that it's like, how could I disrespect God? Knowing the truth, how could I live the other way? How could I think the other way? How could I talk the other way? The spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and if without a proper respect of fearing the Lord, we cannot be wise as Christ followers. There's a lot of Christ followers that do not respect the Lord, and you watch how they talk, and you listen to what they say, and you listen to how they think, and they do not have the knowledge of God because they don't have the proper respect and the proper fear of the Lord. I just think they're the seven spirits of God. And I'll tell you what, you know, where you take all those spirits of God and you put them into one human being perfectly, and who do you get? Jesus Christ. All the fullness of God lived in Jesus Christ. the fear of the Lord, or excuse me, the Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord, all lived in one person, one perfect person, Jesus Christ. And you know what else? All that lives inside of you as a believer of Christ. Problem is, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. But it's all there. And it's all available to believers in Jesus Christ. But we have to say no to ungodliness, no to sin, no to worldly desires. And the more we know Christ, I just think it's cool that all these things are present and available for believers in Christ. All these. And these qualities, now here's these qualities, these seven spirits of God, these qualities of God are so real that John actually saw them. How do you see the fear of the Lord? How do you see understanding? How do you see counsel? How do you see might? How do you see all these things? How do you see them? We don't have enough senses. We can feel them, we can sense them, but we're in heaven, and this is what Revelation is. God doesn't work in our senses. God works way beyond. The qualities of God were so real, they might as well have just been standing there. And that's what they were doing. Just standing there, burning there, looking there. And you'll see other kinds of really weird stuff. But understand that they're not going to look like things on the earth. They're going to look like what they're meant to look like at that moment in heaven. God is a spirit. And he appears, and when John looked, he was in heaven, and it was so amazing that he saw qualities. He just didn't experience them, he saw them. And I'm sure he knows that in chapter 3, he was saying they're, burning flames. And in chapter 5, I said they were burning flames then, but now they look like eyeballs on this like seven-horned lamb. Don't get caught up in the weirdness of it. I don't think we could understand it anyway, because we live in a five-sense world and a 3D world. God doesn't live in a 3D or five-sense world, okay? Before time began, after time began, and in heaven, there's unlimited. It's perfect. It's perfection. I don't know. Every once in a while, you get a movie with someone who has a sixth sense. That is awesome compared to us five sense people. And some of my sense aren't even really highly acute. I'm not going to say that's because I'm a man. But I think in heaven, when we say, well, I have six senses, God's going to be like, oh, yeah? Let me count mine. How long do you have? Well, there's no time there anyway, so it doesn't matter. Oh, man. Like there's just the senses of God knows your thoughts before you think them. Now talk about a sense. What was I going to say? I mean, God knows your thoughts. He knew you before you were even stitched together in mother's womb by him. He knew what you're going to be like. He knew how you're going to live your whole life and every choice you're going to make and everything about you. He knows the number of hairs on your head before you were even born. That's a pretty good sense. How do you compete with senses like that? So I'm just setting a foundation for where we're going, that don't get caught up in the weirdness of some of these descriptions. You just took a guy out of a five-sense world and put him into a huge amount of sense world. And he's going to say, this is what I think it is. This is what it looked like. In a five-sense world, this is what it looked like. Anyway, pretty cool. So it's from God, and he says, and then it says, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Three things that describes Jesus Christ in here. I'll go through these quick. What time is it? What? Time to be done! You got to be kidding me. I didn't get started off the first page. I got four more to go. Ay, ay, ay. And from Jesus Christ. I hate when that happens. Did you talk too long? Did he talk too long? Okay, you didn't talk too long. All right. Can I blame it on anybody? I'm going to finish Jesus Christ at least. Anyway. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Jesus, you're going to see in here, in songs we were talking about, Jesus is the focal point of revelation. Without Jesus, there would be no revelation. Without Jesus, there would be no life. Without Jesus, there would be no life after death for me, because I would die and go to hell. And all of Revelation is bowing down before the Lamb that appeared to be slain, because Jesus was slain for my sins. The focal point is on Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness. John 18:37. You are the king then, Pilate said to Jesus when he was on trial. Jesus answered, you say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came to the world was to testify to the truth. He is the faithful witness. And when he came to earth, he was faithful to God. And he witnessed about what's going to happen and how we get saved and how we come to know him. He's the faithful witness. That's a quality that they're talking about him here. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's just known as this. Colossians 1:18. And Jesus, or he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. Jesus died and he was buried and he was the first one to come back to life. And he raised other believers. He said, if you believe in me, you shall never die. And he came back to life and took other believers with him. And someday us people that are dead and buried in the ground are going to come back to life. He was the first one that did that. The firstborn. Jesus was. And they call him that. He's the ruler of the King of Kings. Romans 13:1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So next time we complain about the authorities that exist, remember you're complaining about the person that God installed. There is no authority other than what God has given. I still might mention some complaints that I have about some of the authorities in this world, but be careful with that. Be careful with that. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Ay, ay, ay. So my big point is coming next week. Ay, ay, ay. I want you to understand something about Revelation. This is a big enough deal that the chain of which it was brought to us is highly important. There are no discrepancies in it. We will not fully understand the things we're studying if we take it word for word for word. But this is what John saw, the likeness of this. But the important thing is, this is what it represents. And this is what God is like. So since this is going to happen, what kind of people ought we to be? And I would say, don't even wait for the end of Revelation. Say, take the things you know now. And stop making excuses that I can't do it. Because all these descriptions of God, they're alive and they're living inside of your body. Now, what kind of person should I be? And how cool it would be to say, I let this hurt me. I let it change me. I let it motivate me before Bob even talked about it. Then you don't have to say, well, Pastor Bob spoke. And you can say the Holy Spirit spoke to me before Bob got there. And then you can change it even before I try. Okay? But allow God to change your life. Allow God to get inside of your life and make a difference in your life, because God is an awesome God. And everything he says is truth and fact. I know what I'm going to hear in the car on the way home. You took too long for the introduction. That's where the problem was. I have a major awesome critic. She makes me what I am. Is that like pro me or anti me and pro her. I love my wife. She is awesome. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your kindness to us. You are just an amazing God. I think I'm excited about where we're going. And just help me to be able to share these things well. You are an incredible God, and the things that are coming up are just incredible. But God, they are true. I'd love to see everyone in here read out loud this revelation to their family. Because you literally give a blessing for those who read it out loud to other people. What a great thing to say in the next couple weeks, we're going to read out loud revelation. And to sit and listen to it and talk about some of the implications in our life. Precede what we're going to be talking about in church, Lord. I pray that they will do that. And I pray, Lord, more than that, that they will take it to heart. And let it mold their future. Let it change today. Thank you that as believers in Christ, we can have peace for ourselves, but help us not to have contentment for lost people. You're a great God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.